T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Of course, we have the greatest football game ever because it's Dolphins and 49ers this week. So how about that?
History.
You know
history.
What? I really feel like Dan Marino and Joe Montana should have a fist fight just for just to get it going.
What?
Yep.
You've been aggressive this week.
You know what?
You just keep
Deebo Samuel
fights.
Started it, dude. Not me.
I don't think so.
Not me. Yeah. So I want Joe Montana and Dan Marino meeting at midfield, throwing fisticuffs.
Throwing fists, huh?
All right. What's going on?
See if we can pull some strings.
What's wrong?
That's what Leroy walks into.
Would you prefer Jerry Rice and OJ McDuffie?
What?
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Our guy, Seth Levitt, he is the co-host of the Fish Tank podcast with OJ McDuffie. And, of course, you can hear him on post-game action with Travis Wingfield along with Juice. They do a great job. Seth Levitt, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
I think Leroy's going to walk off the show today, to be honest with you.
Why is that? What'd I miss?
First of all, he thinks I'm reading way too much into this beef with Deebo Samuel and Raheem Mostert, which I'm not.
Okay, I agree.
You are. I'm not.
Dude, they don't play against one another. You can talk as much trash as you want.
The spice has started, dude. Trust me.
That's like a heavyweight talking trash to a light heavyweight or a middleweight.
No.
Like, you're not going to fight him.
But there
Who
is
cares?
Going to be fighting. There is going to be team fighting.
No, there's not.
So the fuse has
no,
been lit.
No, there's not.
It has been lit.
That's not trash talk.
I agree that.
I'm telling you. Dude. That's not trash talk.
Then why are the 49ers being so sensitive?
What do you mean?
Raheem Mostert didn't mean any dig at Jimmy Garoppolo, but Deebo took it as a slight.
Still got to defend your guy.
Yeah. You,
but nobody's
You're talking about two different things.
Nope. No. I'm saying if you think it's a dig on your quarterback – you got to defend your guy. But at the same time, when you use lyrics and all, you ain't really talking trash.
That's how it's done these days, dude.
You ain't talking trash. Okay, here. Let me explain something to you. Me talking trash to the other team's running back does nothing. If I want to talk trash, I'm going to talk trash to somebody. Let me talk trash about one of the linebackers.
Okay, but here's the thing. Deebo is upset because he feels his quarterback was slighted. It's all offense because the root of the conversation started with Raheem Mostert telling this journalist that I believe because we have a quarterback who can sling it, we're going to be scary good.
Why are you treating this like the Hassan Whiteside situation? We got shooters.
That's what he's doing. So it's an offensive beef. You don't think there's beef here, Seth?
I kind of wanted to let you guys just handle this one. To me, it's like I don't even see where the issue is.
Thank you!
Seems like nonsense.
This is what I do every day. Every day he goes, ooh, look what I found on Twitter. I don't know if it's real or not.
People like trash talk. Why are you acting
that's
like
not trash talk?
It is, dude. It is.
He's
I'm telling
people.
You, that's if not trash talk.
If Deebo Samuel is telling Raheem
Mostert.
If Raheem Mostert is being told by Deebo Samuel, be serious. That's trash talk.
Being serious cannot be considered trash talk.
Dude, it is, Seth.
Here's the word. Yeah. This is what I do every day, Seth.
Raheem, be real with yourself. Be real.
And he's crying laughing.
But that's a sarcastic laugh.
Yeah, that's a laughing at him. They're not laughing with him. They're laughing at him.
I'm sorry. If I need, trash talk translation, then I don't need to be in the trash talking game. Especially two people that don't fight. You ain't fighting nobody. And you talk about what is beef and what is a beef.
I know.
That's
dude.
How they do it now.
That's not even fighting.
You know who I want to be the arbiter?
You know who I want to be a hit, right?
You know who I want
to come in there and stick
Seth,
a guy.
This is who I want to be the arbiter of what's trash talk and what's not.
Oh, boy.
Brian Cox. Because if it is trash talk, he going to give you a two-piece of soda before he responds. So then we know.
Give me, though, Seth, your excitement level for this game. I mean, these are two of the best teams in the league going into this one. Feels like one of the feature games of the week. Obviously, there are a lot of storylines in it because the head coach came from this franchise. So, like, where is your excitement level going into this week?
Yeah, is it going to be a little bit like that Spider-Man meme where all the Spider-Men are pointing at each other? Is it going to be one of those deals? I mean, look, so there are some underlying interesting elements, and apparently there's another one I didn't even realize was that interesting. But it's exciting because, as you said, it's good football and it's relevant football. Like, I love what Coach McDaniel said. There's nothing better than meaningful football in December and January. And it's been a long – well, you know, I shouldn't say that. The Dolphins have had meaningful games, but it's kind of like must-win games this time of the year. Like, if you – and not only must you win, but you're waiting for other teams to lose and you're doing all that. You're going into this thing 8-3 on top of the division, and you're going to play a really good football team. So it's an opportunity to truly see where you're at as an organization. You know, you've got two good – shoot, three games in a row against good football teams, two of which are teams that you're competing with to have that playoff spot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what's more exciting than that is playing games that mean a whole lot and having a chance to be a part of this thing.
How nervous are you if they are not able to have Teron Armstead this week?
I mean, look, not having Teron Armstead, I think, is a big deal for sure. You know, we've seen how important you saw what happened when Tua wasn't playing, right? I mean, it was very clear. Tua, when Tua plays and he finishes the game, whether it's when he walks off that field,
when he chooses
to
end the game,
correct. When he chooses to end the game, they're 8-0, and 0-3 when he doesn't. And there's a lot of factors, but you know, certainly can look at that. And I think you know you have to say, look at the offensive line play when Teron Armstead's in, and we all understand the importance of having a really good left tackle, and he is really good. So yeah, I mean, you know, that's tough, but. That's the sport that these guys are playing. And there's no way in the world that when you look on paper at your roster at the beginning of the season, you can just expect that you're going to have that same group when you start playing games in December and hopefully in January. It's just not the way this sport works, unfortunately. And these things happen, and they've got to figure out a way to work around it.
Seth, it's crazy to me that Armstead makes this much of a difference. I'm not you know, doing it to slight him.
Yeah.
But he's made this much of an impact with how that whole offensive line does. That is pretty amazing to me, right? And,
yeah.
And how he plays. Now, I will say this. They've struggled because it's not just him, right? Mm-hmm. They've always had like two or three offensive linemen hurt at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they start playing guys a little bit outside of their element. I think they can cover for one guy. But now you got Austin Jackson also. And now you're going a little bit too far down that, you know, list to where that's what's going to be the issue.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Leroy, because in theory, if the left tackle's out, that shouldn't affect your right guard, right, you know, in theory. I mean, I imagine there might be certain things schematically, but,
right.
You know, that you shouldn't just – the whole thing shouldn't fall apart. It was interesting to hear. Well, both Tua and Mike McDaniel took blame for all of the sacks, which I thought, hey, great leadership. They took all the
blame
for putting guys in bad positions. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, the last four prior to the game against the Texans, you know, you had Shell on the right side, right? And then he wasn't even in the starting lineup. So Jackson's coming back. It's his first time playing in 10 weeks. And then, you know, you lose Armstead. Shell comes in on the other side. And so, there was a lot of rust, I thought, across the board, and the offensive line, unfortunately, I think they were most impacted there. Well, which the offensive as a whole was. I'm with you though. It's like, wow, one guy, and especially one guy all the way at the end. You know, that's an important piece. Like, if you lost your center, I could see where that impacts both sides of the line, and so that was surprising. But I'd like to believe, I hope, that with a week's worth of practice and knowing what to expect going into it, that they can figure out ways to try and mitigate some of that loss. You're not going to be able to replace the guy because you don't have a talent like him mm-hmm. to just plug in there, but hopefully they can find other ways to still be productive.
When you got it anytime, and here's a good rule of thumb. Anytime you have to switch sides with a player, they're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, just imagine, it's the almost equivalent to you all of a sudden having to write left-handed for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, only Tua can pull that off, right? A right-handed guy, you stick the ball in his left hand, and next thing you know, he's leading the league in all quarterback categories. So he's the only guy who can pull it off.
What's such a strange thing that his father wanted him to be a left-handed quarterback?
You know what? It's
Phil Mickelson. Arguing with the decision at this point.
Phil Mickelson is the same way.
It's so
Phil Mickelson is right-handed. He golfs left-handed, which is unheard of.
It's such a kind of get, like, if you're, you know, raising your kid, like I've said when my kid, like, hit lefty. You know, everybody loves a lefty hitter.
Or pitch lefty, right?
Being a lefty quarterback is such an odd thing, especially if he is naturally right-handed. What a strange thing for his father to discover.
He won a national championship.
I don't know.
It's working.
Yeah, it's working. Hey, listen, whatever Papa Tua, you know, has got going for him, it seems okay. Let me bring you into another debate that we had earlier today.
Oh, geez. All right. Wait a second. Has this become the debate? Or do you guys just do this all day long, or only do you wait for me to get here?
We don't know. Sometimes the days, it just stumbles. You know, we haven't been in studio together in a while. I was on vacation. He was in Cleveland yesterday. But when it was early in the game, it was, they were up 10-0, 4th and 10. We finally get to see Thomas Morstead.
Yeah.
I understand the decision. It's conventional. You know, you're midfield. You let your punter punt. But would you have been surprised if Mike McDaniel would have gone for it on 4th and 10? Because I feel like this offense, they can get 10 yards whenever they want now. That's seemingly every throw is over the middle for a first down.
When you need 10 yards or you're turning the ball over, it's different, right? It's hard, right, Leroy? It's harder to get 10 yards when everybody in the building knows you need 10 yards. When it's 1st and 10 and you can accept 3 or 4 yards or 40 yards, then getting to – oh, my God, these comments crack me up. I'm sorry.
Look, I'm telling you.
I would have been surprised.
Here's the problem. I would have been surprised. He says, oh, well, they're moving the ball and you know that team can't score. That's why you pin them back. You don't want to play. You don't want to play a field position game with a team that can't score.
It obviously worked out marvelous because Von Ginkel got an interception like the next play. I get you, but I'm just saying, Mike McDaniel.
No, don't just say. You always just say, and this is why we get in arguments.
So I don't understand. Well, like, why is there a debate if it worked, Tobin? Like, you punt the ball.
It was just my feeling.
You force a turnover. You get the ball on the 2 yard line. And you score.
It wasn't so much. Yeah, it wasn't so much
field position.
It wasn't so much a disagreement. It was just in that moment, I'm watching the Dolphins. They were humming that entire drive. And then all of a sudden, 3 incompletions, a little drop here and there. But I'm thinking to myself, this Texan team stinks. They could get 10 yards whenever they want to. So if Mike McDaniel decided on that fourth down, 4th and 10, I'm going to go for it. I wouldn't have been mad at him.
You would be fired by midseason. Like, mid-season. I go through this every week when, hey, during the game, hey, why didn't he do this? Like, no!
It's very Madden, like, circa 2002.
He doesn't even play Madden, though.
But this is the most explosive football I've ever seen. It's amazing. And I feel like they could do that whenever they want.
Yeah, but it's still got to be rooted in some sort of, like, you know, strategy and common sense, no? Like, you know, otherwise you start to lose a little bit.
Hey, you know, have people have their wheelhouse? When you said strategy and common sense, he just fell off. He is no longer. No, he has no common sense. He doesn't think like that. Right? Like, we had Tyreek Hill. You know what he was saying? Now we can get Deebo Samuel. That's what he does. Okay. It's never enough. Never.
Deebo Samuel. What do you got coming up on the Fish Tank podcast?
Your followers are too good. Well, today, nothing as good as this. But so Brendan Iambadejo, I don't know if you remember Brendan.
I played with his brother.
You did. You played with Obafemi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's cool is so did he. So this guy took 4 years. He was an all Pac-10 in college, doesn't get drafted, took 4 years to get to the NFL. Listen to his journey this guy went on. Two teams in the NFL he got cut by. He goes to Canada, plays for two different teams. He goes to the LA Express in the XFL, goes to Amsterdam for the NFL Europe, goes back to Canada, and finally 4 years later gets a chance to land on the Miami Dolphins roster, and his brother, Obafemi, is on the roster as well. Spent 2 years here, And the guy spends 10 years in the league, he's Pro Bowler three times, he's all pro, he's two Super Bowls and the whole thing. Really interesting guy. Also is a huge advocate for LGBTQ community. He was on the front lines of fighting for same-sex marriage as a straight NFL player. So that in and of itself was unique and ahead of its time. So really an interesting dude. And I think most people who are Dolphins fans will remember him for that Monday Night Football interception of Tom Brady. The Dolphins are 2-11, and I think the Patriots are 12-1. Come down here. We got the orange jerseys on. There's no way we can beat the Patriots, the defending Super Bowl champs. And he gets an interception with 2 minutes left in the game to put the Dolphins in position to go ahead. So great moment reliving that with him. A lot of fun, and, a great listen.
Check it on out, the Fish Tank Podcast. Seth Levitt and OJ McDuffie do a fantastic job at that for Dolphin Fans Weekly. And you guys also do a great job with Travis Wingfield on the post-game show. You got a big one coming up this week, Seth. We appreciate you having fun with us, and we'll do it again.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah, looking forward to it. You know what? Can I ask, do we have time? Can I ask Leroy, or am I messing up format here?
No. So you go as much as you want. Format.
I don't know. We're going for it on 4th and 10 in midfield. What am I talking about? So one of the things that Brennan talked about was, you know, he was a smaller linebacker. I mean, the guy's put together, but he was on the smaller, quicker side. Mm-hmm. And he said that at that point in time, you know, part of the reason it took him so long to get into the league is that this game was more the Leroy Horde game. It was the 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yes.
And you needed those 250-pound linebackers that just wanted to shoot the A-gap and smash heads. And he said, in today's game, I could have had a chance to start because it's all about the smaller, quicker, faster guys. I thought that was fascinating.
It is. It's all about covering tight ends now and having range in the secondary and being able to get depth. Think of it at Tampa 2. The Tampa 2 means nothing if you don't have linebackers that can get deep. But guess what? How about this? I played against a linebacker. His name was LaVon Kirkland. He played in Minnesota. I mean, played in Pittsburgh. Sorry.
Pittsburgh.
And he was listed at 6'2", 290 pounds.
Holy crap.
That's what he was listed as. And I ran a pattern up the seam, and I looked to my left, and I had basically a nose tackle running with me. That's where football has changed. Right now, that guy would be a small safety.
He looks like the scariest thing I've ever seen on
the
football
field. Just to see him roaming, to see that guy roaming the secondary. It's what was terrifying. I mean, what you think of Pepper Johnson? You think of, like, no, the league was, you know, different. Even the safeties were 230.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Atwater, Lewis Oliver, those guys are beasts.
Right. Joey Browner.
Yeah. I'd say that was one of the things I actually liked about this past weekend. I felt like there were a lot of big hits from the Dolphins. I don't feel like you get to see that anymore. Like between Baker and what Duke Riley did to damn Burkett, like flipped him over his head. The Eric Rowe knocking the ball loose. Like I loved seeing how the Dolphins are flying at the football.
I think you need that from this perspective. You need to be able to control the middle of the field. And the only way you can do it with a receiver is to knock his ass out when he comes across the middle, and then he won't catch any more balls. And I think that we wore that as a badge of honor when we played, is that we could go in the middle of the field, catch the ball, take the hit, and still hold it. That separated you from a lot of guys. Now there's nobody that does it. Because you can't
the rules work against you for trying to do that, right? You know, so you really have to find the right opportunity to do that. OJ talks about all the time, these guys can make these acrobatic catches because they're not afraid of getting their head taken off.
Yep, pretty much.
Sadly, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right.
You go for it, man. You go for it, Tobin. On 4th.
Always.
Again. You go.
Always.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. Back with more after this.
You did not do the research.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.